Music sounds better on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. How are you, mate?
I'm good.
Yes?
Yes.
Are you?
I am. Very good.
You got your hair, your hedge, not, and your hair cut.
Yes.
You got your hedges cut as well, though, this week.
I did indeed. They're looking lovely.
Yes, they are indeed. Yes, if you look at the website blog.donneganlandscape.com, which gives you all the details for listen laters and etc., etc., you'll see a beautiful picture of Brian and myself stood outside my Jeep.
Is this where I thank you for the freebie?
Potentially is the answer to that one. However, when I popped the photograph up on Facebook, somebody left a comment saying that Brian was admiring his hedge.
I was. Yes, I was.
Yes, you did.
Of course I was. On today's programme, we've got something special for you. We've an interview with Jane Powers about the month that's in it. We're into August, the first Sod Show of August, and flowers and plants that you can be thinking about and dealing with for August.
Something that may be, you might say, not for the, how would you say it? The person who isn't really a gardener, because we've tried to steer away from, I think it's fair to say, the botanical Latin, the big, long, elongated words. Did I say big, long, elongated? However, we've tried to veer away from those kind of, that kind of lean on gardening, shall we phrase it. However, what I would suggest is, if you are listening on the radio, do have a pen at the ready. Jane does give some really good names on plants that you may like to write down the names of, if you were to give somebody a gift of one, that is.
We'll also be discussing working outdoors.
Yes.
Because I've got some questions for you about what that entails and what benefits you accrue from working outdoors all the time.
Well, the problem and my fear, Brian, in anticipation of me answering these questions, is that you may have a cunning plan in mind for me to do some more work in your garden. And whilst Mrs. Green does feed me with beautiful cakes and tea, I'm looking at the back garden kind of going, yeah.
No, actually, it comes about because a weather forecast for this weekend.
It's rocky.
It's
stormy.
A big low has come in off the Atlantic and we are looking at 48 hours of non-stop rain.
A new meaning to water gardening.
Yes.
In short.
Here comes the weekend and you say, I've got some time, I'll do some gardening, and it's gone. So what you've got to do is do it while you can. So,
well, you're saying do it while you can, and I know we're going to come to this conversation later on in the show, but there is a point where if you're like me and you do it for a living, rain, hail, sleet or snow, well, in fairness, I could say rain, hail, sleet or snow, but rain, hail, sleet, bearing in mind the weather we had the year just gone and the year before with the snow, there wasn't really a whole lot to be done. So to be honest with you, rain, yeah, fair enough, I'll work with it.
Okay, so coming up directly after, we're doing things in reverse order this week. We're doing the Song of the Week early and we're doing the interview directly after that. Will be Jane Powers speaking about plants in August, as we just said. But first of all, we're going to our Song of the Week and it's something you picked.
I picked it, yeah. We had a taster of Eleanor McAvoy's album to be released yet. We had an early taster of it.
Yes, her next album, studio album, is called Alone and it's coming out on the 12th of September. And we have an early release and we're going to play a track from it. And what did you pick?
I picked a song that I think may just resonate between a few ears, I think, to an extent, but at the same token, one that touched a little bit in my heart. So let's play it.
Have a listen to this. This is Eleanor McAvoy.
Enjoy.
And The Eve of Destruction.
The Eastern world is exploding, violence flaring up. Bullets loading, you're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? Knowing even the Jordan River is body's floating and you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Well, can't you see what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fear I'm feeling today? When the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save when the world is a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't see we're on the eve of destruction. Well, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here, I'm contemplating. You can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. And a handful of senators can't pass legislation. Oh, and marching alone won't bring integration. And human respect is just disintegrating. Human respect is just disintegrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yes, you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. Well, you may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. Oh, the pounding of the drums, pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, yeah, but don't leave a trace. You hate your next door neighbor, but you still say grace. You hate your next door neighbor, but you still say grace. Then you tell me over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, you tell me over and over and over and over again, my friends, how you don't see we're on the eve of destruction. Oh, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
It's the start of August. You may be wondering where you should be going with your garden. A lot of people have left the damage and the aftermath of what was two sessions of frost and sub-zero temperatures from last year. Still some waiting to see if their plants are going to make it back. Jane Perris, the author of The Living Garden, a place that works with nature, and garden correspondent with the Irish Times, is on the line. Jane, what should people be doing? I mean, is it a case of that a lot of people have left it to see if those plants will come back? Are they coming back? Where do you go from here?
I think if there's no signs of life in your plants by now, at the beginning of August, it's time to do the big thing and dig them up. It's dead. But the wonderful thing is every dead plant leaves a planting opportunity behind it. I think maybe we could get on with some planting now. Now, just remember, it's August. It's normally the warmest time of the year, and the soil is normally fairly dry. So if you are planting something now, just remember to water it in really, 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 really well. And if you've got tired old soil, make sure that you bulk it out with some organic matter first, so that you're making a lovely home for your plants that you're going to put in.
Jane, on the point of watering, what I tend to do when the weather is particularly dry, as most people would know, I have a half of a wheelie bin. I fill it with water from my water butts. I drop my plants in until all of the air bubbles have moved out of it. And then, after digging a hole twice the depth of the plant, filled with maybe some compost or some organic matter. Is that a right way to do it? Is that a good way to go?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think it's a really good idea to rehydrate your plants before you plant them and make sure that the roots are all, they've taken up as much water as they can. The one thing that I would say, and I know you know this as well, is that you should always plant your, particularly your woody things, at the same level that they were in the pot, so that you're not planting them too high, not too proud of the soil, because that way they'll just dry out, and not planting them too low, because if you have too much soil coming up the stem, that will kill it.
Jane, on another point, I was firming in some plants I got given out to by a plant lover. The point I was, or what I was trying to achieve, was to knock all of the air pockets out so that, in part, the plant didn't drown in its own water or what it required. However, I think it may have been perceived that it was being a little bit rough with the fact that I maybe have a size 13 shoe.
Well, I think probably having a size 13 shoe is a great advantage, because then you really need to use fewer boots per plant when you're firming in. So that, in fact, yes, when you're planting woody stuff like trees or shrubs, you really do need to get the boot in once you've put the plant into the soil and shove down the soil quite firmly, which is why it's called firming in, around the root ball. And you don't want to compact the soil so that there's no room for air, but you want to make sure that the roots and the root ball are in good contact with the existing soil. So that's why you're firming it in, and you were doing it absolutely correctly with your size 13 boots.
Thank you very much. For those who are taking the giant leap and intending to replace those plants that they possibly should have done some time ago, or for those who are looking to just make some nice additions to their garden, Jane, what kind of plants should we be looking at towards the latter end of the summer seasons?
Okay, well, I'm mad about perennials. I love perennials. Perennials are flowering plants generally that last from year to year. Herbaceous perennials die down in the winter, and then they spring up again in the spring, and they can last many, many, many years. One of the perennials that I really like, it's a tiny bit tender, so if we have a really miserable winter, you might lose it, but, you know, what the hell, it's worth trying. It's penstemon, and penstemon looks like a cross between a foxglove and a snapdragon. It's got really pretty tubular bells, and it comes in pinks and blush pinks and reds and mauvey colors and purpley colors. And there's all sorts of varieties of penstemon. And we were talking about bees, bumblebees, a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, and penstemons are great for bumblebees. So they're just a really pretty perennial. Another pretty perennial are Shasta daisies. They have the most awful Latin name, which I'm going to give to you just in case, because they go by so many different common names. The Latin name is Leucanthemum ex superbum. They're big florid daisies with orange centers and white petals, and they're a real cottage garden favorite. They're a bit rampant, so that if you plant them, they might take over your garden, but, you know, they're completely foolproof. Another perennial that I really like is, it's called Nautia macedonica. There again, we've got a sort of complicated botanical name. The common name for this is scabious, but there's lots of different kinds of scabious. So this particular one, again, is Nautia macedonica, and I'll spell the Nautia. It's K-N-A-U-T-I-A. It comes in various colors, but the most common one and the most beautiful one, I think, is a deep red maroon color, and it resembles little tiny pin cushions on wires. And it's just such a dainty, dainty thing. And it flowers from July until September, October. And another plant that you might have, a perennial, which is just starting to flower now and which will go on until September, October, are the Japanese anemones. And they also have wiry stems and quite large flowers in pink or white or a deep kind of pink. And they'll grow in shade. They'll grow in dry shade. So they're good if you've got what people refer to as a difficult position in the garden, which is dry shade under trees.
Because the usual thing, I think, when you look at most of the reference books is that Pachysandra, which is a fairly bland in comparison kind of a plant, seems to be the one that's always recommended for planting under trees in dry spots.
Yeah, which is it's an attractive plant, but I think Japanese anemones are a lot prettier.
I would fully agree. So if you're looking to get a plant for mom or dad for birthday towards the end of the season, and you know they're a particularly bad gardener but don't like to admit it.
Yeah. And then also, I know that people are very keen on eating things that they grow, but not everybody has time to have a vegetable garden or even grow salads or, you know, but just the whole idea of actually going out your back door or even onto your balcony and picking something that you've grown and using it in your food is really attractive. So I would say plant some herbs. Plant some rosemary, some thyme, some lavender, some sage if you've got a sunny spot. If you've got a shady spot, you can plant parsley or lemon balm and mint. Now, the last two of those, lemon balm and mint, are quite rampant. So if you're a bit precious about your garden, you want to be careful about planting them. The ones that die back in the winter, for instance, like parsley will die back at a certain point. I mean, you can pick that and you can freeze it. And say if your cordyline has died or one of your tender shrubs has died and you want to plant shrubs that are as tough as old boots, I would recommend hydrangea, which is a kind of an old-fashioned, almost old ladyish shrub, but I really like it. Hydrangeas have great big chintzy powder puff flower heads, which, you know, everybody knows, and they're always in somebody's granny's front garden or aunt's front garden. They have a long season, and you can dry the flower heads if you want, and you can use them in your Christmas wreaths, and you can pick them and bring them to the house, and they'll dry in the house. And hydrangeas are supposed to like a slightly damp soil, but our soil in our garden is as dry as dust, and there's a hydrangea here that's been here longer than I have, and I've been in this garden for 20 years, and I think it was there maybe 20 years before that, and it flowers every year no matter what awful things I do to it. So
there's a point where some people may not know this, but the changing colours of the hydrangea flowers, some people have told me that they have bought them as blue and they have gone towards a more red, and some people have said to me they've bought them as a kind of a red and they've gone towards the more blue. There's a reason behind all of this, unknowns to some, maybe.
Indeed there is, and it has to do with the acidity in the pH of your soil. So where you have an acid soil, the hydrangeas will be blue, and where you have an alkaline soil or a neutral soil, they will tend towards being pink, particular varieties, not all varieties. I'm not actually sure which ones are the ones that change. When I was in school, we used to do things with litmus paper. Did you do that when you were in school?
Yeah, back at the old, yeah. I think it was Intercert days, yes.
Yeah, and as I recall, litmus is exactly the opposite of hydrangea. Litmus paper goes pink in acid conditions, and it goes blue in alkaline conditions. So that's the hydrangea. And the other plant that I want to recommend, it's a very quiet plant, but it's a shrub. It's quiet, but it's modest but elegant. And it's Cotinus, Cotinus. And it's also known as the smoke bush. And what it is, it has kind of oval leaves. And the reason it's called the smoke bush is when it flowers, which is in late summer, it produces these amazing inflorescences of kind of, well, smoky-looking, wispy kind of flowers, so that just the effect is that when you would look at one in the distance, it would be as if it had these billows of puffs of smoke coming out of it. And actually a garden where you can see this really well is in Mount Usher Gardens in Rathnew. And there's a walk there where they have various Cotinus, and they just look amazing with their little pups coming out of them. And Mount Asher Gardens is an absolutely fantastic garden for trees and shrubs. And it's well worth a visit at any time of the year, but particularly in the spring and in the autumn. But the thing about Cottinus and the thing that makes it really suitable for a small garden is that if it gets too big, you can actually just cut the whole thing back down almost to the base in spring. And the shoots will spring out again, and it does absolutely no harm. The only thing is that you may not get flowers that year. So they're a great plant, and they're particularly good for if you've really dry soil and a sunny position where nothing will grow.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
Peter Donegan talking to Jane Powers, and thanks to Jane for the interview and what you should be doing in your garden this August.
And you'll catch Jane every Saturday, of course, in the Irish Times weekender section. I always do.
Weekender, I'd say.
So either in the Irish Times magazine.
Yes, in the magazine. Yes, indeed. But directly before that, from Eleanor McAvoy's forthcoming album, Alone and Eve of Destruction, the song was from 1965. By P.F. Sloan, most people
Brian,
would
know. I had a couple of private messages. Sorry for cutting across you there. I had a couple of private messages wondering who that song was relevant to, or dedicated to, or about. The answer to that is whoever you choose. In short, there you go.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, back to gardening.
Well, just before gardening, it is the Sod Show, and you can get in touch on Twitter, #SodShow, and on text, it's 087-977-1032 to the studios here at Dublin City FM. Back to the gardening and sod stuff. We're going to talk a bit about working outdoors.
Yes.
In your garden. Or
in your garden.
Not my garden.
Well, I was working in your garden.
You were, but in your garden or your job, which is all the time, it's outdoors. So you live by the elements, because if it's chucking it down, you can't work.
No, but I think there's a
point.
Or
what you do work.
Well, you try and pay attention. One tries to pay attention to the weather forecast, but you can tell me this, Brian, as well as I can tell you. How logic and how accurate is the Irish weather? Based on the reports that one would receive maybe at 9 o'clock after the news.
I watch this closely, and they're not too bad nowadays. I think weather forecasting is celebrating 150 years today.
You're joking me.
Yeah, just formal sort of weather forecasting. And our stuff comes in mainly off the Atlantic.
Yeah. Okay?
So we provide our information eastwards to the United Kingdom. They get a lot of their forthcoming.
Oh, my head's starting to hurt. I'm getting confused.
Anyway, there's a lot of science involved, and it has perfected itself. So I think that give or take 6 hours, they're going to tell you roughly what it's going to be like. So do you find that they get it wrong? Or
no, I think I just get up. Well, you listen to the weather reports, and then sometimes you get up in the morning and you're kind of going, well, you told me it was going to be bucketing out of the heavens. So I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sun's beating through, you know, the bedroom window. What's the story?
Well, you're an outdoor
Who
sort of
the curtains
you're
open?
An outdoor sort of guy,
yeah.
For work and for, you know, with your camping and your everything. Your,
yeah, fair point.
Your
and
walks
I think
and everything. You must look at the weather in your own way and kind of feel it yourself and say it's going to be grand tomorrow. It's going to be.
Listen, if to be honest with you, if it's raining tomorrow, it wouldn't bother me. I'd still cut hedges, still plant, still whatever the case may be. The only thing gardeners really need to be careful about is if a lawn, for example, isn't quite free draining and it has been raining for an elongated period of time, one might leave heavy footprints through the soil or through the lawn, and that just leaves it a bit untidy, and therefore dry weather is, you know, kind of good. At the same token, it would stall somebody if they were getting into stuff like spraying or putting down maybe fertilizers that weren't of a more modern kind of type, as in they're not slow release fertilizers. They may be leached through the soil. But in fairness, unless the only stumbling block I've really hit in the last 2 years has been the really, really bad snow and sub-zero temperatures, to the point that I couldn't see grass and I couldn't see hedges.
Let me tell you a short story about me and the Irish weather. I got a telescope. okay? Mm-hmm. I just wonder, where is this going? And it's only then you realise how cloudy it is in this country, right? My question is that if it's raining as much as it does here, and I suppose we should know that it is going to be cloudy because it rains a lot, what can you do? The greenhouse, I think the greenhouse has waned a bit. It was very popular in the 70s.
Greenhouses are a misnomer, Brian. To me, greenhouses, any gentleman, I say gentleman as versus the ladies, but the gentlemen that I know that own glasshouses tend to go down and have a cup of tea and maybe a puff of a smoke and some sandwiches and potter and doodle around
so
the place.
So it's a little escape.
It's a haven. It's an escape. I'm going down to fix the thing, love. That kind of a place where you might go. On the other hand, the ladies that I do know have them, use them as they should be intended, which is for gardening purposes. Now, this isn't any kind of independent researched poll. This is just by my own figuring out as I've been going along, you know.
And a potting shed just the same, really?
I prefer the glass house, but you can't be seen in a potting shed.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It depends on how much work you like to get done. But look, to be honest with you, no, Brian, I knew before I went to college, studied horticulture, I knew what the weather was going to be like when I was 5 years old when I was gardening. I knew what it was like when I was 17. I'm now 35. I still know what Irish weather is like. You just get on with the programme. And as the Camping Shop and Sword says, there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothing. Same thing goes
well,
for gardening.
Well, maybe we'll talk about all-weather clothing next week. Have we got something special on next week?
Oh, we have the ladies and gentlemen of the Peter McVerry Trust are on talking, funnily enough, surprisingly for some, maybe, about gardening.
Okay, wonderful. Well, that's about it for Sod Show number 23.
Wow, are we that old?
We're that
old. Are we that long together?
We are indeed.
Hi, Ben Keneally, for listening.
We'll be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening. Check out the podcast via the blog, and that's at
blog.donegallandscaping.com and also Sod Show in iTunes. Thank you to our three listeners today, Ben Keneally, Kevin O'Reilly and Peter Nugent.
Okay, that's it.
Take care. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Trauma.